iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
Om Bhur Bhuvaswaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yonah Prachodayam. Om Bhurbhuvasvaha Tat Savitur-varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Nah Prachodayat. Om Bhurbhuvasvaha Tat Savitur-varenyam Bhargo.
Hello and welcome to the iSpiritual Show right here on iGlobal Radio. And today we have two very astute and very knowledgeable experts with us in the program, whom I'll tell you about in just a few moments' time. And today we're going to be talking about the relationship between science and spirituality. Most people think that science and spirituality are totally opposite fields of studies, but if we speak from our experiences in both areas, then these two sides of the same coin perhaps might just match each other. So to us, the aim of science is to uncover the deepest spiritual truths, and the aim of spirituality is the search for the cause behind scientific fact. Physical scientists who have chosen science as their field are not much different from spiritual scientists who spend their time engaged in the spiritual search. Now, joining us here today on the program are two very astute members who know about this subject only too well, science and spirituality. And here on iGlobal Radio, we are joined by the very knowledgeable Professor Nawal Prinja and Dr. Gaurav Prinja, who join us today as well on the program. Welcome to both of you and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So psychology and the way psychology plays part in the scientific world. Let's talk about Om and Gayatri Mantra, which is what we began the show with today. Professor Prinja.
Tony, thank you for your introduction and thank you for playing the Gayatri Mantra. You know, this as the signature tune of these podcasts, very suitable because there is a lot behind the science in Gayatri Mantra. It is considered as one of the most sacred mantras and the most powerful because it gives the formula for success in life based on understanding of human mind and psychology. And that's where science comes in. Gayatri Mantra is formed a mixing of three parts. The original part actually starts from Tat Savitur Varenyam. Three words are then added in front. Bhu, Bhava, Swaha. And like all other prayers, it starts with Om. So let me just tell you, share with you that Mandukya Upanishad gives perhaps the best explanation of the word Om. Mandukya Upanishad relates the three states of human mind, waking, dreaming, and deep sleep with the three syllables of Om. A, U, Ma. In English, A-U-M. When we are awake, we act. We use our body and sense organs to perform various actions, mostly dictated by our mind. We see, we hear, we touch, smell, taste, the outer world. All that is represented by the letter A. But when the body gets tired, it goes to sleep, the mind is still working. The mind starts to reflect in the virtual world, the experiences, and sometimes in most unrealistic fashion, and we call them dreams, that is letter U. But there comes a time when even the mind goes to sleep. Everything shuts down, mind as well as the body. We call it the deep sleep. That is the letter M. So in that deep sleep, we are absolutely at peace, totally unaware of what is going on with our body as well as with our mind. We are literally dead. But we are not, because next moment we will wake up.
So that's actually quite interesting, because I've been practicing my Hindi and my Sanskrit, Dad, and I was looking at how the letters are laid out, and it relates to this quite nicely, because the sound when you're saying Om is quite guttural. It starts way down here in the neck, And then when you go to that's that's, as you said, that's sort of raising up. That's going from physical to mental. That feels like it's coming from the back of the mouth. You're sort of going, ooh, the sound. Feel, you know, I've got a big beard, so you can't see where I'm pointing. Yeah, it's sort of the back of the mouth. And then for the makara, it's you're closing your lips, and you have this vibration. It's very cerebral, and it's also very calming. So that sort of the production of the sound is also kind of elevating through your head, starting at the base of the neck and coming up. So that's quite nice. But then where do you go to next?
Yeah, very good, Gaurav. Actually, you know, often in everyday sort of layman's language, the sound represents your gut feelings, because the sound is coming from there. And then what you express, and the m sound is right at the top in the head, what you have understood. So basically, look at the message behind it. Your gut feeling, what you are expressing to people, and what you are understanding, they should all be lined up. Sure. If you're thinking something else, saying something else, you're understanding something else, you're not having a good alignment in life. So anyway, the question, a very good question there is, then why do we wake up? Yeah, when we are in deep sleep, we are totally switched off from physical and emotional world. Then what actually remains with us at that time? We wake up because we are alive. Life is action. Life is movement. So when we get tired of action and rest and sleep, then that same cycle starts all over again. And this is really what it talks about. The whole cycle will just keep going again and again and again. What the Upanishads point out is that during these three changing stages, there is a fourth stage. And this is very important. This is brilliant. Om is actually not just three parts. It has four parts. The fourth part lies right behind the other three changing stages. The fourth is a constant, quiet, peaceful, blissful part, you know, the very, very core of our being, upon which the other three stages play. They come and go. The fourth stays there. It's very difficult for me to actually describe it. I can't explain in words, you know, what this fourth part is. I don't know. Tony, see, he doesn't know as well. But Tony, thank you. You have actually given a very correct answer.
The fact of the matter is that when we chant the word Om, now, is it chanted in a continuous state? Is it chanted slowly? And then there's OM, Om, and then there's AUM, Om. What is the difference between the two, Professor?
No, it's just according to the Sanskrit grammar, E and U, when they come together, they become O.
So it's the pronunciation. It's merely a pronunciation.
Yeah. But literally, it is E, U, M, three syllables, followed by this fourth, and you gave the correct, you identified it by not saying anything. Your answer was silence, wasn't it?
It was indeed. It was indeed, because I didn't know the answer. Om then mystically embodies the essence of the entire universe. Would I be correct in saying that?
Absolutely. The whole cycle of universe, yes.
So Gaurav, how is this further deepened by philosophical belief?
Well, so this is one of the things. I'm a great believer in kind of understanding what you're doing. I'm not ritualistic. Yeah, on the philosophy side of things, I feel it's important to, you know, really understand what's going on. And as you said, like, a lot of people talk about Om as AUM, a lot of people talk about Om as OM, and you hear people chanting, and you know, you hear lots of people going Om, which isn't correct, right? They've sort of taken something and not really understood what it is, picked something up and just gone, oh yeah, it's like this great spiritual thing we can do. You can chant Om. Really, as Dad was saying, you know, it's the A, the U, the M, A, U, M, but also this silence at the end. That's actually quite important. That's almost key, right? That's the bit that most people don't understand, and therefore probably it's also the bit that most people forget. The physical, the mental, even the spiritual is all stuff that people talk about all the time. But it's this unknowable, this indescribable, you know, literally nameless, right? Silence that that's the end where you're trying to get to, you're trying to understand. Like the people who are chanting Om, but doing it as a parrot fashion, I'm going to chant Om 108 times. You know, Om, 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 Om. They're missing out kind of almost what the actual key is, that you've got the physical and the mental and the spiritual, but there is something else out there, that silence, which you're basically forgetting and concentrating on the first three.
I agree. I mean, the emphasis, Gaurav, there is on understanding. Take time to understand what you have said, what you have done. And this is the foundation of mindfulness as well, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, bring your mind where your hands are. So moving on in this way to understand the whole Gayatri Mantra, the Upanishads actually do encourage us to be aware of this fourth state, because this is the rock solid core of every human being. It is changeless. The other three states are just changing continuously. But this fourth one is changeless, it is continuous, and it can never finish. It is undisturbed by the commotions around you. And it's so beautifully illustrated by the story of Mahabharata. You know, that great war between the two families, Kauravas and Pandavas, and Arjuna, the warrior, the bravest of them all, is actually feeling weak. He's disturbed. You know, he's nervous. I mean, who isn't in this world? You know, when we are challenged, we do get. And he looks around, and in the same situation, same chariot, same time, same place, there is Krishna sat next to him. He is not disturbed. In the same body, that chariot, there is Krishna who sits under the same conditions. He's calm, collected. This is that fourth element that we are talking about, that divinity in you. And Krishna supports Arjuna. He takes away his fear. He tells him to act. And history tells us that Arjuna then acted and won. So he listened to the very core seated deep inside him. This indestructible, blissful, calm, peaceful core of our being is what we all carry inside us. This is where spirituality comes in. The great rishis teach us to get to know it, be aware of it, and then I bet we can cope with whatever the world throws at us.
Professor Pranja, in the interest of timing, perhaps you or Gaurav might have a story about the Gayatri Mantra, which is what we played when we began this particular broadcast today, and giving us perhaps an example of how it has helped you in your lives.
Okay, tell you what. So obviously, yeah, growing up with a dad like Dad, I was always told, if you're ever scared, if you're ever not sure what to do, say the Gayatri Mantra. So this is back when I was doing my master's in, it was the end of my master's degree, and I was doing it in high performance computing. They were switching, basically the UK's like parallel computers, they were switching off the service in Manchester, and it was all shifting to Scotland somewhere. Because I was physically based in Manchester, they said, oh, it's fine, you can use the computers whilst they're still here. But I was trying to get my final results. The computers were being shifted the following day, and I could not get my code to compile. So I'm sitting there. The compiler keeps throwing errors at me. If it works, then the numbers all look wrong. And I was there. It was like 10 o'clock at night. It was pitch black outside. I felt like I was going a bit crazy. I was hearing noises in the computer lab, and I kept turning around, and there was nobody there. So I sort of thought back. And I stepped away from the desk. I went to the window, looked over the nighttime lights of Manchester, took a deep breath, and said three Gayatri Mantras. And then I went back to my desk and sat down. And in 15 minutes, all my code compiled perfectly and ran. Now, I don't know. You know, for those who believe in, you know, higher forces, maybe it was. Maybe I had successfully asked God to guide my intellect and make me, you know, type the right bit of code. But from a psychological point of view, maybe it was just stopping working on the problem so frantically and taking a moment to be calm and remember that there's something greater than ourselves, and then just coming back to the problem the way Arjun, having consulted with Krishna, came back to the war.
The Gayatri Mantra actually ends by saying, guide my intellect in the right direction, such that you can always make the right decisions.
Right decisions.
That's excellent. That's such a beautiful understanding of Gayatri Mantra, one which we've learnt so much about from you both here today. Professor Pranja and Gaurav Pranja, if somebody needs to find out more about what we've been discussing in today's program, how can they find out more, and where can they go to source more material and get more information on what we've been talking about today?
There are a number of resources, but I advise don't just go to Mr. Google, because there is a lot of nonsense out there as well. So you have to really go to authentic sources, translation of Gita, translation of Upanishads, and so so on. So Vishwa Hindu Parishad has actually published a book called Explaining Hindu Dharma, which is available, and you can get hold of it. The Hindu Education Board has recently been launched. They will be creating their own website. There, again, only authentic material will be put on site. So my warning is, just don't believe in what is out there on the internet. There are a lot of wrong or misinformation. Just go to the right sites and make sure that the material is authentic.
Professor Prinja, thank you, Rajadeed. And Gaurav Prinja, thank you, Rajadeed, for joining us today on today's iSpiritual program here on iGlobal Radio.
Thank you.
Global Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iglobalnews.com.